Hey, everybody, this is Zach.
And Stuart.
Yeah, we're here to talk about the 2018 book. This was Stuart's choice. This is Hank Green's An Absolutely Remarkable Thing.
Yeah.
So first off, I guess, where did you hear about this book? Because I know you do YouTube. Was he promoting this, like, on YouTube, or...?
No. So I actually found out about this book basically through a friend of mine who still works at Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
They actually read this book. They really enjoy, like, because this is young adult.
Yeah.
And they really like young adult books. And they were talking to me about it, kind of describing some of the aspects of the book. And I thought that was really cool. So I ended up giving it a read. And then it kind of has a very abrupt ending. I was like, what? And then I realized, oh, there's a second book. I guess I should read the second book. And then for some strange reason, I never got around to reading the second book. And then we started talking about doing, like, these things. I was like, haha, I can combine my interest in reading the second book with this podcast. So so that's what happened. But yeah, it was actually recommended to me by a friend of mine from who still works at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
He really needs to, like, find his way out of Barnes & Noble. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I mean, I would say I would still be working at Barnes & Noble if they actually paid a decent wage. Like, if I could, you know, live off of the wage, but, like, you know, they pay retail price, or, you know, retail salary, and...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no one can, unfortunately, live comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and it's funny, you mentioned this as a young adult, and I had to stop myself for a second because I was like, wait, is it? And it's like, it is, because...
It is.
Like, I always think of young adult being, like... Like,
Harry...
Teenagers?
Harry Potter, or... Right? Yeah.
Yeah, where, like, technically, I think young adult books are anything up through, like, your mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is definitely where I would put this. Like, I wouldn't... I don't know how much of it would be as impactful for, like, someone who's, like, 14 or 15. Like, I feel like it's probably something that's much more impactful the older you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because, spoilers, I actually liked this one.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
A lot.
I
mean... Oh, go ahead.
It's just got, like, a couple of interesting, like, concepts and everything.
Yeah. Well, so like, and because it's newer, there's not a whole lot of anecdotes for me to have looked up. Like, so basically what I found, is that Hank Green was working on this since about 2013.
Mm.
And it was originally supposed to be a graphic novel.
Oh, I didn't know that. Huh.
Which I could
see it.
Honestly, yeah. Like, I can definitely see how you could reframe this and turn it into a script for a graphic novel.
Yeah.
I think it would be really sprawling if you did that. Like, it would be really long.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see, like, the statues. What they would look like.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely want to see the statues, because, like, the cover art on mine are just these kind of, like, Easter Island looking, like, monoliths, right? Uh-huh. Like, with like, eye cutouts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, as they're described in the book, they're like stone samurai.
Yeah, kind of. So I thought that would be cool.
Which, yeah, the, you know, like I said, it was originally supposed to be a graphic novel. Apparently he wrote 40,000 words of this in the 2015 NaNoWriMo.
Mm-hmm.
Do you say NaNoWriMo or NaNoWriMo? I say RIMO for the longest time, but I've...
Oh. I say NaNoWriMo. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I said NaNoWriMo for the longest time, but apparently someone corrected me, and the actual pronunciation is NaNoWriMo.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because that's, like, it's abbreviating right.
Yeah.
I don't know. You don't read something.
Yeah.
You write it.
Well,
but he apparently drew inspiration from Dune and the Harry Bosch novels.
Yeah. Which is...
I don't see that.
You don't see... Like,
I gotta be honest, I don't see the Dune influences on this.
I guess the Dune would be kind of more of, like, the collective, like, dreams and stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe, but...
Because didn't, like,
that's Dune kid really
have, like, some sort of, like, premonitions, flashbacks?
He has, yeah, he has premonitions, but they're not, like... They're not like as they are portrayed in this book.
Okay. Because I've only seen the Dune movie.
Oh, yeah, no, like the Dune book is this sprawling space epic. So I don't know if he was drawing inspiration from like the movies or whatnot, but I don't see the influence of the book on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never read the Harry Bosch novels. I like those are very much like dad show books. You know what I mean? Like he's like this detective.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the influence from there. Like it makes me curious to read those books and be like, where? What is the influence on that? But yeah, apparently, and I much prefer the original title to the one that there is because I get it in the sequel confused.
Oh yeah.
Like I always have to look up my notes.
Yeah.
But so the original title was April, May in New York, Carl.
Yeah.
I see why you'd change that, because that sounds a little bit cutesy-wootsy, right?
Yeah, but it's...
Like, it sounds like a rom-com, but I like it. There's, like, an alliteration to it that I like.
Yeah, that you're just like, okay, yeah, I got this.
Yeah. Yeah. The other bits that that I was able to dig up is that there's apparently... I'm going to have to go through and look at all the books that we've done now, but there's a review aggregator that's like Metacritic specifically for books called Bookmarks,
mm-hmm.
right? So this has 25% rave reviews and 50% positive reviews.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's overall 75% positive.
Mm-hmm.
There's a focus on the humor on it,
yeah.
and the kind of deep well of internet fame commentary.
Yeah.
Because
it's interesting, you know, because Hank is a YouTuber. So
yeah, I was about to say it's interesting that he's writing this book because like he's one of the few people that I think has the like
the understanding of like what internet yeah. fame is. Because
yeah, the understanding of what it is and how it can kind of warp your personality.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm sure too.
Because
and like yeah, just the power of fame and you know, like he's got an interesting perspective I think on how you separate like the idea of the person as a person versus that person as a brand.
Yeah,
which seemed to be like a huge through line through this book for me.
And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, because like I guess the last note on the reviews is this Entertainment Weekly gave this a C.
Oh.
Yeah, their review said that the writing is lacking and the dialogue verges on ghastly, which like no, it doesn't. Like I've read way
worse. Yeah.
Like I think they're being a little bit too up their own asses about it because he's a YouTuber.
I mean, again, I will say, like, the writing is very accessible, is usually the word I use when it's not like
yeah
it's not like fancy or not highbrow, but like, you know, it's very accessible. Yeah,
like, and like that's very difficult to pull off without being bad. Like say that something is bad, what that means is that everyone can read it and everyone can tell, yeah, no, this isn't good, or it doesn't do what it sets out to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you say it's accessible, what like all that means is that anyone can understand what it's doing, which is like that's the purpose of the writing. Like that should be laudable.
Yeah.
You know, like, that should be the goal for a writer, to make their book as accessible as possible.
Yeah, because you want... 'Cause
let me tell you, as an English major, I've read some very, very dense books.
Yeah, I'm sure. That were
way up their ass. And there are parts that are fun, but at a certain level, it's like...
You're just like...
Who are you? Yeah, like, are you just masturbating now? Like, come on.
Yeah, are
like...
you just writing for yourself? Like... And again, my go-to is always Lovecraft, or H.P. Lovecraft, who basically just wrote for himself. Like, no one...
Yeah, he wasn't even writing in the popular style of the time. Yeah,
he basically was just writing, you know, for himself, and his books are so dense. I can't get behind them, because, like... I just don't know what he's saying. I don't know what's happening in the story, and I just feel like a big old dummy. I'm like, nah, this is not for me.
Well, it's like, I think I said it when we were talking about, it was one of the Stephen King's, like, It, where you were talking about that. And it's like, it actually was It, because now that I'm thinking about it, it's like, yeah, you know, like, H.P. Lovecraft would write in Dunwich about Batrachian people, and all that means is frog, right? Yeah. They look like frogs.
Right, they look like frogs.
Stephen King, who is accessible, just goes, yeah, it's a big fucking turtle.
Right? Yeah, and you're like, okay. Like,
you can picture a turtle. Yeah. You can picture a big turtle.
Yeah.
Like, it's very easy for anyone to pick that up and digest what's going on.
Exactly.
So, honestly, I think some of the bad... like, reviews are pushback. Because, like, I don't know if you remember, there was a spate of time... You may not have noticed, because I don't know what your internauting experiences were around, like, 06 to, like, 2010, where, like, you know, blogging was super popular.
Mm.
And there were, like, a bunch of different, like TV... like shows that like scooped up these YouTuber like vloggers and bloggers and had them create content, and it's like, oh, these people are very funny in like 140 word bursts on Twitter.
Yeah,
they're not very funny over the course of 22 half hour shows.
That's
right. And so I think there's a lot of like, this is just a theory of mine, this isn't like, I don't know if this is the case or not, but it seems like there is a sorry, I was just turning a light on my desk so I can read my notes.
How dare you turn a light on?
There's well, I don't know how close I was getting to the mic and like like bringing it to it. But I wonder if there's like still that like pushback from establishment media towards new media, where it's like, oh, this guy's writing a book and he's like a YouTuber.
Yeah, like yeah, like he hasn't like gone to like writing school,
like he didn't go through like journalism school at Columbia or whatever, or he didn't come up producing an ABC spotlight or whatever, like that's just a little conspiracy theory on my end. But so largely I guess let's talk a little bit about the book itself. Like, so it's made of paper and
it's got words on it.
It's got words on it. No, so it's about a probably someone who is maybe 15 years or so younger than us, right? Like, that's the sense I get, is that they're...
I wouldn't say that young.
I mean, like, I was thinking like early 20s. Like, that's what I picture. Like, you know, a few years out of college, but not like established in a set career yet, because careers aren't a thing that most millennials get anymore. Like that's the thing that the feeling that I got, because like all April and her friends are all
they have like video,
like they went to school together, like they're all like in creative fields though, so like, you know, one of them I think has a trust fund, but the you know, they're all like in creative fields, and so a lot of them are like hourly, or like they work in a
coffee shop,
an office job, or an office job like where I worked right out of college, where it's just like, yeah, you're paid more than minimum wage. This is the most you've been paid as an adult, but it's still like a quarter of what the work you're doing is worth.
Yeah.
So it's not that great a deal, you know. But her and her friend happen to be, are they live streaming or they're just recording?
So I think she ends up finding like the statue. And she calls her friend because her friend has, like, a bunch of video equipment.
Yeah. Yeah, so they stumble upon, or she stumbles upon...
Like, the statue. The Carl. Yeah, the Carl that she names.
Yeah, which she kind of names flippantly, and it's just kind of a name that sticks.
Yeah.
Like, it's just one of those things where, like, the media picked it up because she said something offhandedly.
Yeah.
And... she's there for all of these advancements with the statue.
Yeah, because right? like the statues, like there are multiple statues, and they they're posted up in different like regions and stuff like that. I think they're like hovering off the ground, like a couple of inches off the ground, and people are thinking that maybe it's like a promotional like thing, or maybe, you know, it's like a stunt that somebody's doing. And then they realize that like the metal that these particular statues were made out of were like metals that no one had recognized. And since she was the first one to interact with them, these Carls ended up like contacting her first, and people realize that these are like things from outer space, like, and since, you know, again, she was the first one to have this contact, she very much like blew up because she uploaded this to like her YouTube channel, and like a marketing person like reached out to her, and she started doing like more like YouTube videos. She went and did like the whole like talk circuit sort of deal.
Yeah.
And really got like involved with that. And, you know, it talks about like how, because her friend who also filmed it was trying, you know, they were splitting it like 50-50 and everything, but she was more of the face. And it's interesting, yeah, because she was
on the camera. Yeah,
she was like, the one who was being like filmed. Yeah, which is interesting because, like, you know, a lot of like these things, even this podcast, you know, there's a lot of like tech work that goes behind the scenes that like people don't know. Like, and unfortunately, those people don't get as much spotlight as like the faces or the voices or the people in front who are the personality.
Yeah.
So
now the trade-off to that too, though, is that people who
recognize you, yeah,
who, yeah, like that's the thing that comes up in the book that I really like. Because
like people start like
first is
giving her death threats and stuff like that. There's a whole cult. Right.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, like the thing that I really liked about what he pointed out there is, yeah, like, because she's arguing with Andy, her friend that was videoing at one point, and like does make the point of, yeah, but you know what? You can go out like to the grocery store and get your groceries.
Yes,
like everyone knows what I look like.
Yeah,
like, and that sounds conceited, but like, no, like she can't do anything in private anymore. Like, if she goes out the door, people know.
Yeah.
Right? Like...
And she does struggle with that, like, you know, she goes through a bout of, like, depression and everything. Just, like, dealing with those, that whole situation and everything. But it turns out where, like, people start realizing, like, they don't have a dream every night, but, like, occasionally... people have a dream, and it's a shared dream or a shared space where it's like this this city that you can kind of like explore and everything. Mm-hmm. And which I think is really cool. I think like having that like kind of like subconscious sort of like
I did
too. Yeah, this and there's like there's little like puzzles that you have to solve in this like dream world. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of like Ready Player One, where it's these challenges in like this like, you know, quote unquote cyberspace or like the dream realm where you have to like figure out certain things and like and different communities start like pooling their resources and stuff like that, where there's there's like this government resource and this like I think church like resource people who try to start like figuring it out on their own. There's like a bunch of people on a forum who she starts working with who like try to like figure out some stuff. Like there's this one like puzzle with a plane and people have been trying to like figure it out, but it's like this the same space that people, you know, are exploring around, which I think is super cool. But she interacts with her public through this like YouTube like space and everything along those lines. And I think that whole concept's really cool.
Yeah, the dream world.
Yeah.
The dream that everyone starts sharing, like you are just in it when you go to sleep. Mm-hmm.
Right. I think on the occasion, like there's sometimes, you know, it doesn't happen every night.
Yeah.
It only happens occasionally.
Yeah. Now the book does move pretty quickly.
It does.
Because like all of this happens over the course of like several months.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and it's basically, you know, these aliens are sent to kind of advance humanity.
Yeah, but
which is kind of a problem because like the Carls that are all across the cities, they're all over the globe, and so there are some governments that just no one can have access to.
Yeah, and like some of the governments like shoot a missile at one of them, at one of the Carls.
Yeah,
just because they're like we think that this is a, you know, an attack on our like soil, so we're going to retaliate. Yeah. Which is interesting. It's interesting to sort of see like, you know, different nations, because truthfully, like, you know, you would hope that humanity would like join together to like try to solve or disband a threat that was outside of the Earth, kind of like Watchmen.
I mean,
you know,
this is 100% an evidence of pre-pandemic literature, though, because you'd think that, but then
Well, I mean, in this book, in this book, it was pretty much like every nation's kind of did their own thing with the Carls.
And I mean, like, so the biggest antagonist in this, though, is a guy named Peter Petrovicki, mm-hmm. that
kind of does a whole smear campaign.
Yeah, I mean, it's really realistic, I think, because of course, you know, this is a woman on the internet doing something. Of course, some fucking right-wing incel shithead is going to just be so contrarian.
Yeah.
Right? Like, his whole thing is,
and
like, he wrote...
It's so funny because, like, he's written, and, like, as you read, like, you're like... You hate this person, and you're like, I wonder if, like, Hank's pulling from, like, something, or, you know, like, an experience with, like...
I mean, probably, because he, like, so the thing here, and I had to look it up because I was like, I know it's some condescending number, right? Like, in the book, he's presented as this best-selling author. Mm-hmm. But it's a best-selling 20-page book.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pamphlet.
Yeah.
That's not a book. But it's called Invaded, and it's this whole argument that the Carls are a foreign invader, and they're all dangerous.
Yeah.
And people, like, it's endangering humanity for her to be interacting with it. Which, again, like, it's a woman on the internet doing something, of course. There's going to be some weirdo who pops up and acts like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the culmination of this book is, it kind of comes out of left field.
Yeah.
Because what happens is someone manages to, over the series of the dream sequences where people are like cracking codes and stuff. Someone tampers with clues, and when they crack the code, it just says only April, no one else.
Yeah.
And it gives an address. And so she rushes to the address, and she's live streaming because, like, this is important. She has, like, what, like 200 million
people yeah.
in her follower count? Like, it's some ridiculous number of
followers, yeah.
Like, more than most world leaders, and, like, on the level of, like, your Taylor Swift's
yeah.
level of, or Beyonce level of followers. Mm-hmm. And she, the, you know, her girlfriend is like, you don't need, like, no, like, why would it tell you to
come yeah.
by yourself? Don't do that. That's remarkably stupid.
And it was a trap.
And it was 100% a trap. She's locked into this address, and it is set fire, and, yeah, the chapter is really rough to read. Like, it's very short, but it's very rough when she's describing, you know, yeah, this is what it feels like when a 1,000-pound buttress falls on your face.
Yeah. And, you know, she's basically, like, has consigned herself to, like, well, this is going to be the end for me.
Yeah. Yeah, and like she's like right at that moment, you know, she's transported to dreams. She's able to communicate directly with Carl, and Carl, you know, confirms everything and says, "Yes, I've been sent to, you know, observe humanity, and you were specially chosen as the most likely and most reasonable person to make first contact with."
Yeah, which is interesting because it's like. Yeah, she interacted with him the statue first, but like, is it something because she's special? Because the book kind of ends yeah. right then and there.
Yeah, it does. Like, there's a little epilogue where it cuts back to the real world, mm-hmm. and all of the Carls go into the air and they disappear. Like, they're all gone.
Yeah.
And then so over the course of a few months, you know, Peter and his group are discredited because everyone saw the live stream of her going to this place and then just being murdered.
Yeah.
Finally months, maybe a year, I want to say, probably a year.
Mm-hmm.
Andy... here's like the way the book ends is like I can imagine reading this for the first time, like right when it came out, and being like, God damn it, the book ends with Andy, you know, hearing a knock on his door and then a text from April that says knock knock.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Yeah. Like, so when I first picked up this book, I didn't know that there was a second book, so when I finished it, I was like, ah, crap! I should, you know, try to get the second book, but I never did, so... Yeah. Yeah. Have you read the next one?
I have, because okay. I am...
Because you're ahead of the game.
I'm ahead of the game, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, what were your thoughts on this?
I mean, I really liked the book. It's not like a life-changing or like emotionally invested book. Like, you know, it's nothing that I've read and I'm like, my life views have changed and like I'm a better person because I read this book and, you know, now I see things differently. It's nothing like that. It's an enjoyable book. It's fun to read. At least it was fun for me to read. It's got some interesting, cool concepts. You know, it definitely hits that particular part of my brain where, because, you know, I used to stream and I was like, what happens if I became famous? You know, that 0.001% of like streamers and like, how would that change my life? And, you know, you always think of just all the positives of what it changed your life for. So it's interesting to sort of see like the negatives. And again, I do think that Hank writes from experience. And it's just, it was kind of like cool to see some of the, like puzzles that they had to figure out. And again, like it's nothing super crazy or anything along those lines, but like, I kind of like that. That's what I liked in, Ready Player One. I kind of thought that that was a cool aspect. So this is very much similar in that vein. And, yeah, it was nice. The only crappy part was it really leaves you on a cliffhanger. It would be nice if, like, I don't know, there was a 2-volume book where it's just in one giant book. But yeah, I think it was fun. What about you?
Yeah.
What did you think?
So I liked it. So I was surprised how much I liked it because, you know, this book is, I will say, it's written from the first person perspective.
Yes.
I
not a fan.
Typically am not a fan of that perspective. I like in my experience, what that tends to be, like there are exceptions, obviously, but what that tends to turn into is the author trying to cram as many jokes as they can per paragraph.
Yeah.
And it's like it can be very distracting if you don't like.
And there are some jokes.
Balance that well.
I mean.
Yeah, and there are some jokes. There are some sections of this book that it's kind of grating to read, but it's like it's few and far between.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
So like I did like it. It wasn't, you know, super distracting at all. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. What would you rate it? On our normal rating scale.
So I gave it a B.
B? Okay.
Solid B, yeah.
Yeah, I would, I'll give it a solid B as well. I don't, again, think that it's changed the game in any sort of way. I definitely feel like it is a summer read. It's a read that you want to take to the beach with you or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I enjoyed myself. I enjoyed, like, you know, following along with all of the characters, trying to solve the mystery with everybody else. Yeah, but again, it's not like a life-changing book. It's nothing where, like, I'm going on top of the rooftops and, like, singing this book's praise. It's a good book. You know, it's a nice, and, you know, it's not long. It really is, like,
right.
I think it was like 200 pages, maybe 150 pages.
It's more like 300, I think.
No, okay. No. I mean, and
it moves quickly. It moves quickly. Though. Like, I think that's what you're thinking, is that, like, it moves very quickly. It doesn't feel anywhere near as long.
Yeah. Yeah.
As you'd think it would. Now, because this is a recent book, I don't know if this is going to get adapted or not, but did you want to cast this?
I mean, I'm always bad at casting and things because, like, I don't know actors that well. Not as well as you know him, but you can go through and cast it, and I might throw in a name or two.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, there's only 5 true main characters.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I guess 6 if you count Robin, who is her assistant.
What would you, or maybe even seven if you wanted to do the voice of Carl?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Let me. Okay, so I got two then that I need to fill. So for April, I have Kimiko Glenn. She's mainly a voice actor. She was on Orange is the New Black. But she does a good job, I think, of pulling off like a believable airhead who is not an airhead. You know, because I feel like that's the sense that April gives.
Yeah. Off.
For Maya, I have Tayana Paris, who is, she is Maria Rambeau in the Captain Marvel movie.
I have not seen the Captain Marvel movie.
Oh, gotcha. Andy, I have Timothy Chalamet, because, mainly because of his performance in Don't Look Up. I don't know if you saw that. Or not.
I have not seen that.
But he plays kind of like a scumbag stoner, like the type of guy who's just like always around in this like ratty bean.
Right? Yeah, like, I can see that.
His role in that like kind of made me like in my head picture him as that in here.
Yeah, yeah.
Miranda, I have Elizabeth Debicki. She is the all gold person. She's the sovereign in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
The second one.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And third one.
I haven't seen the third one.
It's actually really good.
Okay. I hear mixed things. I hear some people say that it's a little too dark.
Yeah. I mean, it is dark. It's also spoilers. The first Marvel movie to have fuck in it.
Ooh. That have the word fuck in it or two people fucking?
Yeah, to have the word no, to have the word fuck in it. It's and still be PG-13. Wow. Because you know, you're allowed one.
Yeah.
And it's very funny. Like they got away with it because it's also not used in a sexual way.
Wow.
It's one character telling another one to get in the fucking car.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I need to go and see more movies. I don't see that many movies. Yeah. And that's a me problem.
Yeah.
Really, the only time I watch movies is for this podcast.
who would you do for Robin? Like, who is the type of person that you think is?
I don't know.
There's a guy. Let me see who played.
I mean.
This character.
The only person I can kind of think of for Carl would be Jack Black, but I just like Jack Black as a voice actor.
I could deal with the voice of Jack Black.
But I think it would be a little too wacky.
No, I mean, he did a great job as Bowser.
Yeah,
I mean, they would have to, like, whoever does it, you know what they would do is they would put, like, 30 different filters of, like,
yeah,
booming reverberation.
So, like, and Jack Black can do a good booming voice.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'm looking. Oh, yeah, Peter, I have Dane DeHaan as well, just because he's got a I know this is mean. We shouldn't judge people on their fucking appearance or whatever. But he's got, like, the punchablest face. Who's this guy? Ah, yeah. So for Robin, I have... He's a little bit old because he's, like, 50 now.
Mm-hmm.
Is a guy named Craig Parker. He's very, like, put together, very precise, very, you know... He seems like that type of... Of
individual.
He could like pull off that character.
Yeah, interesting.
And he's only ever played villains, as far as I know. He's never played like a like good guy in a movie.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just it's one of my flaws. I just movies and
no. I just thought we would do it for this one just because we.
I mean, I can,
like, it seems so, like I could see this getting adapted very easily.
But could you see it getting adapted as a movie or as like a miniseries or as like an actual like television series? Like,
I would think that it would be easier to adapt it as a TV series, to be honest.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see it as a TV series.
Maybe like a prestige show where like you do like maybe not even a mini series, but like a, like if you were to do a 10 episode season and like the first five are
the first book and then
yeah adapting this one and the second yeah. five are adapting the
I other. Mean I can see this as like as a comic too, like
yeah,
you know, it would be interesting to sort of see that.
I'd be curious what the graphic novel version of this looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm glad, you know, I still am happy to have it as an actual book, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, this is one that I'm keeping. You know, a lot of these, I'll read them and then I'll, like, case them or whatever. But, like, this is the one, like, I handed this and the sequel off to my wife.
Oh, yeah. You'll have to let me know.
She's reading the first one right now. She's, I think, like, halfway through.
Oh, nice.
But she really likes it. Like, it's perfect. She said, and I agree, I was like, yeah, no, that's exactly what I would describe this as. Is like, this is perfect, like, summer reading.
Yeah. It really is.
Right? Like, it's deep, but it's not, like, so deep that you have to, like, put it down and walk away from it. Like, it's light enough that you can continue, and, like, if you don't read for a couple of days, you're not going, what was going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, like...
It? Like, you can just jump back
in. Yeah, and, like, who was the characters, and how was everybody related, and,
yeah.
You know, yeah, like, that's half of the reason why I stopped reading The Stormlight. I put it down for, like... 4 months and I just forgot everybody. I'm like, because there's like a gajillion.
Is the other half about the stories that came out about Sanderson?
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah.
We don't have to go into yeah. that. If you're unaware, if you're curious, I can talk to you about it off.
Yeah. But, yeah. yeah, I just, you know, it that plus just knowing that I don't have the mental capacity to like actually
sit with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I do think that this is a really nice, just like summer read that you can just quickly, you know, you can put it down. Like I read the book like a couple years ago and I feel like, you know, if I pick up the second book, I'm going to know exactly where I left off.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I, like, I'll keep these on my shelf. I'll probably read them again in a couple of years or so. Once I've, like, had enough time away from it to be like, oh, yeah, these are these books. What's happening in this world again? Okay, I can get back in here.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice. It is a, it's just a nice read.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess with that, our next book club book is going to be the sequel to this, because this is a duology, and he said, like, even though I think his fans have been clamoring for a third one, like, he has said and is pretty firm, like, no, the second one wrapped it up. Like,
yeah.
It's a duology. It's fine.
And that's
the
nice.
When is the end of the story.
That's nice when an author has, like, they've built out an outline and a roadmap, and they're like, nope. I'm not going to, like, add in fluff and, you know, lessen my story
yeah.
for monetary reasons. So, I'm happy about that.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah, we'll talk about that next time. And, yeah, we'll see you here for that. That's going to be our 38th book club. Can you believe we've done that?
Wow, no.
I think that means...
38, so we got to do something for our 40th, right?
Let's do something for our 50th.
Okay.
Because
we'll do a speed read of all of the Boxcar Children's.
Man, I haven't thought about those books in years.
I mean, there's like 100 of them.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah. We'll think of something fun.
You read this one book, take a shot. Yeah. Read the second book, take a shot.
I'll be dead. Read this third book. I'd be dead by like the fifth book.
Because, I mean, they're not very long. They're not. They're like 60 pages.
But I'm assuming that they're probably like the same like structure.
Yeah, you could probably skip some of them. Yeah. And yeah.
Well, have a fantastic day, evening, morning, whenever you're listening to this. And we'll see you on that flip-flop.
Bye.